Good morning, everyone. Praise the Lord. What a beautiful day. Thanks for coming out to worship with us today here at St. John's Reformed Church. The topic today is gun control, which I believe when we're finished here, you'll realize is a biblical concept. God bless. Now, I know it's not the 4th of July, and I know it's not Labor Day, and I know it's not Memorial Day. And I'm using these In God We Trust bulletin covers on purpose, okay? Because not only are we looking at the coming of the day of the Lord, but we're also looking at our rights, as I told the children. And I'm going to say something that's really going to shock some of you, but I want you not to react too strongly until I explain. I'm in favor of gun control, but not like you think. So I don't have one to, with both hands. Exactly, Jim. With both hands. You must control your gun. You have to control it and keep it away from children. You have to control it and make sure that you know how to operate it. You have to control it and make sure that you have the proper ammunition and no other ammunition on your person whenever you're using a particular caliber. You must control your gun. Okay? It's absolutely essential. And believers in Christ have the authority by God to protect themselves. And like a lot of people, last week when I woke up, I found out about the shooting that took place over in Las Vegas. And my first thought was, not another one. And then as I was going through my week, and I'll back up, I'll get back to that, but when I was going through my week, I heard people who were talking about it, and one guy said, well, it's like everything else, you know, it's just another one. It's just another one. You know, we just have become so callous to these things, it's just another one. And now we find out there's no motive that's been discovered yet. And, you know, there's a lot of controversy surrounding whether or not this man could have pulled this off himself and all these other things and all these other questions. You know, there were about 710,000 people killed in the United States this year. Not by guns, and not by drugs. The drugs got about 50,000 last year. No, it was by abortion. 710,000 people, and nobody's screaming about abortion. But, and God rest the souls of those people that were murdered, and may He help those who were injured be healed. But we hear of 50 or 60 people getting shot, and all of a sudden there's this uproar. Ban guns! Ban guns! Ban guns! 710,000 people murdered by abortion, and we're not hearing people saying, ban abortion! There's something wrong with that picture. You know, I felt compelled to research this shooting. I mean, I felt driven to research it, because it just inflames my thinking. I couldn't wrap my mind around it. I had questions to answer, and after a lot of thought and research, I decided to do this message. And usually I save messages like this for those times when we use bulletin covers that have the patriotic theme and we're saying, In God We Trust, etc. Well, it is in God that we trust, first and foremost. We place our trust in Almighty God. And we place that trust there knowing that He gives us the authority and the right to protect ourselves. And you look in the Bible and you see it over and over and over. You can look in the 4th chapter of Nehemiah, I believe it is, and we'll get there a little later, where the Lord shows that everyone was armed to protect themselves and their neighbors and their friends, most especially their families. Jesus weighs in on it, and He says, when a strong man is armed, you can't steal from him. You've got to disarm him. And there's a number of other passages of Scripture that make it very clear that we are authorized and we have that right to protect ourselves. I want us to open our Bible to the 3rd chapter of 2 Timothy. I hope this message helps those who hear it. I really do. 2 Timothy chapter 3, you'll find it on page 801 in the Pew Bible. Page 801. You know, I can't stand to hear these people that are pushing for gun control when we're ignoring more serious problems. You know, there's 200,000 to 300,000 people that are dying from preventable medical mistakes, allopathic medical model mistakes every year. 200,000 to 300,000 people. And there's no uproar saying, ban doctors. Okay? I mean, let's get real here. When you get into some of the facts, when you hear some of these facts that I've compiled in this message, and I'm not going to give you all the sources, it'll take too much time to add all that information. What I'm going to say is go and do the research yourself. When you look at the facts, the lies that are put out there to try to take the guns away from the people, the good law-abiding people of this land, you'll see it's not about guns. It's not about trying to save lives. In the 2 Timothy chapter 3, we learn about the last days. Now, the last days obviously started way back when Jesus was still here. He talked about the last days. And His disciples, after He left, talked about the last days. And Paul, in his letter to Timothy, tells us this, "But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control." Do you think that guy that just shot up Las Vegas, do you think he had self-control? "Brutal, despisers of good, traitors, heady, high-minded, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power." Much of the church fits into that category today. "And from such people, turn away. For this sort of those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." There's a lot of people in academia there. Not a lot of people in the church. "Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all as theirs also was. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured. And out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." And that doesn't exclude the women. May God add His blessing to the reading and hearing of His Word. Evil men will wax worse and worse. They'll grow worse and worse. There's going to be more and more in the last days. That's what Paul says to Timothy. It's a warning. It's also instruction. And as I started to do the research about this Las Vegas shooting, I found videos on YouTube that were made by people at the concert. People who were actually there. Now, you know, everybody's got one of these smartphones and they just turn them on, they're videotaping. There were people that were videotaping the music that was playing as it was playing. And then the shooting started. And you hear, pop, 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 this ongoing barrage of shooting. And what really astonished me was people were not paying attention. They weren't running. They weren't in fear, and what I've heard other reports is people started to drop. Now, I didn't see any videos of that particular moment whenever those bullets started hitting people. But I did see some of people that were hit, were bleeding, so I know that it's a real thing. You know, sometimes we've heard reports of staged events. This one happens, I think, to be real. They just stood there after the first shots rang out. And it wasn't until the singer left the stage that people realized something was going on. And when you hear them talk about, I thought it was fireworks or something. Now, I don't know about you, but I know the sound of an automatic weapon, okay? I've heard them, so I know what they sound like. I'm not thinking I ever heard any fireworks that sound like that, what I heard. But then the panic set in and people began running. Suddenly, they thought it was peace. They thought they had safety. But suddenly, destruction came upon them. They were screaming. And bullets continued flying into the crowd. You know, I'm not a concert goer. In fact, I haven't attended a concert probably in 35 or 40 years. Except for maybe a recent high school concert or something. You know, local concert.
Of course, I have been to some concerts or Christian-based concerts. But I'm talking about secular concerts. It just doesn't appeal to me.
I was never... it never appealed to me to be crammed together with a bunch of people that were altering their minds with drugs and alcohol. Just didn't appeal to me. Never did. I attended a few concerts as a teenager because friends said, oh, we're all going to whoever. Whatever the in-band was at the time. And I went to a couple of those concerts and everybody was stoned out of their minds. And I didn't like that. And some of those videos that I saw of these country music concert fans, they were visibly intoxicated. There was one man, as the bullets are flying, you could hear the bop, 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 bop. He bends up, you can see he's got his cup in his hand, and he bends over like this here, and then he stands up and he gives the middle finger salute to the shooter, or in that general direction. Then the bullets start flying again, and he bends over again while he's holding his drink. It was obvious the man was intoxicated. It was obvious. And so many today have found themselves in this place of over-intoxication that they cannot deal with reality anymore because their whole brain chemistry's been changed. We're not paying attention. We're not awake. We're not being watchful. I attended a major baseball game once. It was June 28th, 1970. Probably a lot of you weren't even born then. And how do I remember when that was? It was the last doubleheader at Forbes Field. Okay? So I looked it up. I didn't remember when it was. I knew it was 1970 something or other. But anyway, at that baseball game, the Pittsburgh Pirates played a doubleheader against the Cubs. And after the game was over, we were allowed to go and take anything we wanted. I climbed up in the signboard where they had numbers. They didn't have electronic signs back then to give the stats and everything. They actually had number cards. And I grabbed some of the number cards along with some other kids, and we got some of the blue seats from the special seating area, whatever that's called, the box seat area. But at the time, nobody even thought of such a thing as somebody shooting up like a venue with 20 or 30,000 people. Now that baseball game probably didn't have 20 or 30,000 people. It had a lot of people. The place was full. It was packed. Nobody thought that people would just shoot into a crowd at random like that. But 21 years earlier, in 1949, it was September 6, 1949, it was Labor Day, a man murdered 13 people and wounded 3 others in a 20-minute shooting rampage before he was hauled off by the police. And why? His motive was because he was upset that he missed his date with his male friend at the movie theater. During my research on this shooting, I noticed something. A lot of the media reports said this was the worst mass shooting in American history. I said, no. Now, I know it isn't. Okay? And they said the same thing with that nightclub shooting last year in Florida when 49 people were gunned down. But these are lies. I believe they only serve to incite fear of guns. They use cleverly narrowed terminology. It's the way they word it. They're very crafty in the way that they word it, so they can fit these into that mass category. There's the worst mass shooting. But you know what? As I did the research, I found out about the Greenwood Massacre of May 31st and June 1st in 1921. Tulsa, Oklahoma. As many as 300 were killed and nearly 800 were wounded. And in fact, the city participated in getting planes, little biplanes, to fly around this rich neighborhood. It was the richest neighborhood. It was the richest neighborhood of African Americans at that time in the United States. And they dropped burning material onto the houses and businesses of these people. It all started because some boy, a black boy, had a girlfriend who ran an operated an elevator in another part of that area. And she wasn't black, she was white. And so somebody heard this girl screech or scream or something, and the argument was that this boy did something to harm her, that he assaulted her. So then they arrested him, they go to the police station, and word got out that they were going to lynch the boy. So the neighborhood got together, they gathered up their guns, as they should have, and they went to that police station and they said, "We want the boy." And then the riots ensued. And as I said, about as many as 300 were killed and almost 800 were wounded. Thousands of people rampaged through that community. They were white folk. And they looted and burned the stores and the homes. They killed men and women because they could. About 10,000 people were left homeless in that once richest black neighborhood in the United States. There's another massacre that's referred to as the Mountain Meadows Massacre. It took place in September, from September 7th to 11th in 1857 in Mountain Meadows in the Utah Territory. And as many as 140 that were traveling by wagon train were wiped out by the Utah Territorial Militia, which was Mormon. The Mormon Utah Territorial Militia wiped out 140 people. Pennsylvania's no stranger to mass murder either. The worst one had 61 dead in what's called the Paoli Massacre. It took place near Paoli, Pennsylvania, September 20th, 1777. And one of the things as I was doing this research, I said, there's a lot of these mass murders that take place in September. What's up with that? It just struck me. 61 patriots were killed by British soldiers. Another Pennsylvania mass murder took place in eastern Pennsylvania near Hazleton. It's called the Latimer Massacre. 19 coal miners were killed on September 10th. Did you hear that? September 10th? 1897 by a sheriff's posse. But see, we don't want to talk about those things, right? We don't want to talk about those things. Time doesn't permit me to list all the mass murders of our native brothers and sisters, men, women, and children, for hundreds of years. I personally know people whose families were affected, who remember, who passed on the stories down to their family members, lost their lands, dispossessed of their lands and their property, and had their family members killed. But I'll tell you of one mass murder that took place of men, women, and children, called the Bloody Island Massacre near Clear Lake, California. This was in May 15th of 1850. Two white men had captured the Pomo Native American tribe, and many died of starvation as these men forced them to pan for gold for them. Till the natives rebelled and killed those two men. And in retaliation for the death of these two despicable men, the United States Army slaughtered almost 200 old men, women, and children, because the young men were out getting food for them. How do we overlook that? Had they been armed, maybe they could have fought back. Maybe they could have protected themselves. Where's the line, folks? You haven't heard of these, have you? No, because they're not in the history books. These things aren't told to us. But you hear about the ones that suit the modern gun control agenda, don't you? Oh, yeah, all the time. These modern mass shootings are not the largest in this country's history, not by any honest means of reporting. Honest. Some people in this land and across the world want people of this country to be disarmed, so they push gun control. They use the mass shootings like this one in Vegas to push their agenda. They don't waste any time either. As soon as something like this happens, you start hearing them on the news. Oh, we got to control guns! We got to control guns! Oh, guns are killing people! They push the fact like 30,000 people die each year by guns, but they don't tell us that 65% of the gun deaths are suicide and 15% are by the police. That's 80% of the gun deaths that aren't by violent means. In other words, somebody didn't attack somebody else. 17% are through criminal activity. 17% of the gun deaths are by criminal activity. 3% are accidental deaths. People who don't know how to control their guns. Or they get sloppy. Last year, more than 50,000 people died in these United States from overdosing. Maybe we should outlaw drugs, right? Oh, right. That's right. They are outlawed. Yeah, heroin's already illegal, right? Yeah. Oh, and fentanyl, that's not a legal drug. Well, it's used legally, but it's used illegally. 200 to 300,000, as I said before, die from preventable medical errors. And we're not hearing an outcry about that, are we? 40,000 people die from automobile accidents. Should we ban cars? Let's get rid of our cars, folks, because after all, there's people dying. 40,000 people. And it's not by some people saying, okay, well, it wasn't deliberate. Wasn't suicide in most cases. But cars are killing people. We got to get rid of cars. Mao Zedong, a Chinese leader, way back when, he wrote, political power grows out of the barrel of a gun. Of course, he is suspected of killing between 40 and 60 million of his own people. There's three types of firearms. Handguns, rifles, and shotguns. Rifles and shotguns are called long arms or long guns. Often we hear news report stories that classify certain rifles as assault or assault type guns or rifles. Now, I'll tell you what, I own some rifles. And I've even stood them out in the open. Oh, God, I know, I'm horrible. But I've stood them out in the open. And I've watched them. And never have I ever seen a gun assault anybody. Not even once. Not even once. I mean, you'd think I never heard of a gun itself taking itself and assaulting somebody. So how do we call any rifle an assault rifle? A semi-automatic rifle fires one bullet with each trigger pull. Now, there are some modifications that people are doing, apparently. I wasn't aware of them until this Las Vegas story broke. Now, they'll modify a semi-automatic rifle into almost an automatic rifle. Not quite. And there are some illegal modifications that can be made to semi-automatic rifles that will make them into automatic rifles. And those are already illegal. The fully automatic rifle, on the other hand, fires multiple bullets with a single trigger pull. Pull the trigger, hold it there, and it will fire until you're out of ammunition. And fully auto rifles are already illegal, except those that were made pre-1986. Rifles don't assault anybody. People assault other people. Guns are inanimate. They don't move unless we move them. But every time in recent history that somebody uses a firearm to mow down innocent people, the gun controllers start yelling. And quite honestly, folks, I can't just sit back and not do something about it. Wait a minute, let me get my sand. Here it is. I got my sand. Let me try to put my head in there, right? No, I'm not. I can't put my head in the sand. I can't. Here's some of the facts that's ignored in the gun control rhetoric. According to the United States Department of Justice, of the almost 6 million violent crimes committed in the United States during 2014, that was the last year that I could find stats for, only about 10%, 6 million crimes committed, about 10% were committed by offenders visibly armed with a gun. That includes simple assaults, aggravated assaults, robberies, sexual assaults, rapes, and murders. According to one study in the United States, folk used firearms to defend themselves and others from crime almost 1 million times per year. That's a million people or more that would have been injured in some way, shape, or form if they had not had some form of self-protection, such as the firearm that they used to protect themselves. There was a survey of felons from 11 state prisons across the United States. And listen what they found. They surveyed the people that were serving time, and the felons said there were 34% of them that said they were scared off, shot at, wounded, or captured by an intended victim who was armed. 34% of the crimes were stopped in some way because the intended victim was armed. 40% decided not to commit a crime because they knew or believed that the intended victim was carrying a gun. They see you're carrying a gun, they pick the next guy or the next gal. Almost two-thirds knew other criminals who had been scared off, shot at, wounded, or captured by an armed intended victim. And as many as 200,000 women, listen, ladies, as many as 200,000 women use a gun every year to defend themselves against sexual abuse. And I call that gun control at its finest. All right? Women that know how to control their gun. Teach your wives and your daughters responsible firearm handling. It might save their life. 60% of felons that were polled agreed that a criminal is not going to mess around with somebody that's armed with a gun. Learn gun control. Personal gun control is critical. It's important. 74% of the felons that were polled agreed one reason burglars avoid houses when people are at home is because they fear being shot at during the crime. If they think you're going to shoot at them, they're not going to break in. Think about that. 57% of the felons polled agreed that criminals are more worried about meeting with an armed victim than they are about running into the police. They're more scared of you than they are the cops. If you're armed. That's important, folks. That's an important statistic. That's something to pay attention to. All of the mass shootings since 1950 in this country occurred in gun-free zones. How's that one? Huh? Put that in your hat. All of the mass shootings since 1950 occurred in gun-free zones. Not allowed to have a gun? You're a target. Go to that venue where guns aren't permitted, and you might just become a victim. As the evil men wax worse and worse, and not just men, there are women actually that murder people too. Taking firearms away from responsible adults is dangerous. It's dangerous to their lives, their health, and their property, and so I tell you, control your guns yourself. Have them. Practice using them. Keep the proper ammunition. There are Christian groups now that are actually manufacturing ammunition because of the restrictions on, on manufacturing, but there was all this purchasing that was happening. Ammunition was being bought up. So the prices were going through the roof and the ammunition was no longer available in some cases. So there were some Christian groups that said, you know what, we need to arm our fellow followers. They started manufacturing. Of course, there's a lot of red tape to go through and all of that, but I would encourage us to get some ammunition. It's important to have, folks. A gun's only a stick without a bullet. In Luke's gospel record, we find a self-defense instruction from Jesus, and I want you to open your Bible there. It's page 710 in the Pew Bible. Luke chapter 22, beginning at verse 35. Luke chapter 22, beginning at verse 35, page 710 in the Pew Bible. Jesus is about to go to the cross, and He tells His disciples, well, first He questions them. He said, "When I sent you without money bag, knapsack, and sandals, did you lack anything?" And so they said, "Nothing." But then He said to them, "But now he who has a money bag, let him take it. And likewise a knapsack." Now, He's saying, after He's gone, He wants His disciples to be prepared. They've got to be able to be prepared to take care of themselves. "And he who has no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say to you that this which is written must still be accomplished in me, and he was numbered with the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end." So they said, "Look, Lord, here are two swords." And He said to them, "It is enough." He wasn't telling His disciples to go out there and wage war. He was telling His disciples to protect themselves. You know, this week, as I was studying this, I thought, well, we don't carry swords for self-protection. And there are some people that would argue, because it says the word swords, that it excludes guns. I say, well, we don't carry swords. If everybody carried swords and we were only up against swords, then I'd say, okay, grab a sword, carry your sword, pack it on your side everywhere you go, and you'll be protected. But we don't carry swords. Nobody carries swords. So, you know, limiting that teaching to just swords is false. No matter who says it isn't. Because He's talking about self-defense. He's not talking about swords. The sword happened to be the weapon at the time. Jim Barr reminded me of God's basic rule for self-defense that's found in Exodus chapter 22. Exodus chapter 22 and verse 2, it says, "If the thief is found breaking in and he is struck so that he dies, there shall be no guilt for his bloodshed." You're absolved if you have to kill somebody who's committing a crime against you in your home. We have what we call the castle doctrine. Every man's the king of his castle. He has the right to defend his castle against all intruders. Jesus said, and I quoted this earlier, "When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are in peace." That's in Luke chapter 11 and verse 21. And so, again, I say, let each one control his own guns, and less will die at the hands of evil. As those evil men wax worse and worse, as evil grows in our society, as we see it. You know, Mike Green and I were talking this morning, we were discussing the Constitution of these United States. And we know that that Constitution is not for us. It doesn't give us rights. And so often in the media, we hear your constitutional rights. We hear our representatives say, your constitutional rights. They are not constitutional rights. They are God-given rights. And those things that are written in the Constitution are to protect us from that government that we established as the people on this land. The right to keep and bear arms comes from our Creator, not from a Constitution and not from a government. That Constitution is for them to obey. And they're violating it every chance they get. I don't have all the statistics on when these gun control measures were brought in, but it's everything's in the last 100 years. Prior to 100 years ago, folks, there weren't any restrictions on guns. The people were armed, and they protected themselves against one another and against the government. All through biblical history, we read of walls that are built around property. Self-protection. Towns and kingdoms and people were armed to protect themselves from other people. Now, if everybody was saved and born again, we wouldn't have a problem. We wouldn't have to worry about it. We would not need to have any form of self-protection. But not everybody's born again. Not everybody's been saved from their sin. There are people that are working in their sin and they're hoping to work their sin against you. That's the truth of it. evil men wax worse and worse, we need to be prepared to protect ourselves. God creates and gives life. He's the only one that is authorized to take it. Not even Satan has authority to take life without our Creator's permission. Remember Job? The devil went to God and said, "Oh, you think that guy Job, he loves you, right?" "Yeah, right. It's only because you protect him. That's why he loves you. You let me at him. I'll show you how much he loves you." And God said, "Okay, you can do anything but kill him." And Job lost everything. He was a rich man, lost his animals, he lost his crops, he lost his servants, he lost his children. And as he's standing there with boils all over his body, his wife says, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" And he says, "No, I know in my flesh I will stand before him. I will see my Redeemer, for my Redeemer lives." Only God can take away life. And there is biblical permission for authority to take life of certain criminals. Well, I'm not going to go into all that. Take too much time for one message. Maybe sometime in the future we could do a Bible study on it. And now I'm going to bring you my final point. What are the largest mass murders in the world in the last 100 years? 262 million people is the number of unarmed people that Professor R.J. Rummel, he's passed on now, he estimates that governments murdered in mass killings during the 20th century. That isn't just, that's not the 19th century. It's not the 1800s. That's 1900s. He said in the USSR, more than 60 million died at the hands of their government. People's Republic of China killed about 35 million of their own people. Germany slaughtered more than 20 million. And the previous government in China killed more than 10 million. And as I said before that, Mao Zedong is believed to have killed as many as 60 million. Japan murdered about 9 million of their own people after disarming them. The list goes on and on with untold millions of people being murdered, slaughtered by their own government in the last 100 years. And I know with some people this isn't going to be a popular message, but I have to tell you folks, we have to be armed to protect ourselves. And I'm not just saying with a gun, I'm talking about in prayer also. But prayer, even though it's the answer, is not going to stop that guy when he comes into your house. You're not going to put your hands together and say, "Dear God, don't let this man kill me." You pull a gun on him, he's going to run, or you're going to stop him. History shows that disarmed people are murdered by their own governments. It's a fact. It's not something that we can just say, "Well, you know, it didn't really happen." No, it's a fact. Everybody knows. The more power a government has, the more it can do whatever it pleases to the people. And history shows, as I said, that they're murdering their own people. Our system of representative government controlled and guarded the power for more than 200 years. It spread it out. It put checks and balances, and all those were controlled by the people, and it's been less able to injure us because we, the people, are still armed. But if they take away the guns, folks, you better believe that people like me are going to probably be the first to go, because I speak out against it. Look, I love my country. Don't get me wrong. But I want the government of this land to stay in its place. And it's bursting at the seams to take over every aspect of our lives. This is why we need people to get involved, as our friend Jim, in politics. Not everybody's cut out for politics, but we need to have good, godly, God-fearing people to get involved so that changes can be made at the base level. Some believe the mass shootings like that in Vegas are staged. Some believe they're meticulously planned, and that's all by those who want us to be disarmed. I'm not so sure about that. I don't know that it is or isn't. I haven't researched it. But I'll admit anything's possible because of the desire for power and domination. And you know the devil has a deep lust for human blood. So his operatives are all for disarming whole populations. One way that the enemy of souls is winning in his bloodlust is, as I said when I started the message, is through abortion. 1,500,000,000 abortions have taken place since 1980 across the world. 1,500,000,000 people have been killed by abortion. But we don't hear an outcry about this mass murder of people, do we? I would ask you to remember to pray for our nation to repent of its wholesale murder of unborn children. Each time I hear of gun control demands because 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 people gave their lives in a mass murder situation, I remember the 1.5 billion that are murdered by abortion worldwide. And nobody's talking about. Well, not nobody. There are some people. We support life choices. They're helping young ladies to choose life. They just opened up a new maternity house, and they're going to be staffed. They've got it staffed, actually, and they've got their first resident. We want to support that. But I have to ask you, do you remember what God said to Cain after he murdered his brother? He said, "What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground." One. Murder. One. Now, you know, if our Creator heard the blood of the first murder victim crying out against his brother, that He hears the blood of the innocent crying out to Him. Those that have died from many causes, including abortion. Can we expect anything less than more evil when we continue to program callousness to death and destruction? There's recently a guy in politics, "I'm all for anti-abortion." Got his girlfriend pregnant and told her to get an abortion. He's not going to be a politician anymore. Hypocrisy still has some limits, I guess. Yeah, I'm not sure about the rest of the world, but in this land, our so-called entertainment venues are full of violence. Just turn on a television. You all that have televisions know what I'm talking about. I put on Netflix. Now what do I hear? Bah, 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 bah. Everybody shooting at everybody with automatic rifles. Is it any wonder we're seeing it in our society? This programming has numbed our reactions. It's made us almost callous to death. Well, unless it suits an agenda, of course, you know. And the people say, "Wow, it's just another one." What are the Pens doing this week? Are the Steelers playing? 1.5 billion people killed by abortion. But we want to take the guns off of everybody because some man killed 50 or 60 people and wounded another 500 or so. Something wrong with that picture, folks. As I wrap this up, I want you to remember that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. As we are in the last days, we are going to see evil men wax worse and worse. Perilous times are upon us, and they shall come. And many are lovers of their own selves. They are covetous. They are boasters. They are proud. They are blasphemers. They are disobedient to parents. They are unthankful, unholy, and without natural affection. Think of abortion. Natural affection should keep us from killing unborn children. But we're without it. We're truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And they have a form of godliness. Oh, we talk about God, right? Lots of buildings all across this land are filled with people today, just like this old building. People are sitting in there, and they've got a form of godliness, buddy, I'll tell you. They're just ready to be there for God until He calls on them. Oh, they'll talk about God. They won't do what He says to do. They won't be who He says to be. They won't go where He says to go. The biblical response is clear. It's written right there in that passage that we read when we opened up. From such, turn away. It's true that evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue, it's written, in the things which you've learned and been assured of, the Holy Scriptures. This is why it's critical for us to learn the Bible. It's why it's critical for us to study the Bible. It's why it's critical for us to just even read the Bible. Just read it. Get one. If you don't have one, I'll give you one. Get a Bible and read it. Get it into you. You must learn the Scriptures. It's critical. It's important. Because then you can stand upon your faith and you can defend it for all who would question you on it. And I'm not talking about man-made doctrines. I'm talking about just what the Bible says. It makes you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ. It'll strengthen your faith. It'll strengthen your faith. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that you may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And the Bible gives us clear information that God has provided us with the right to defend ourselves, the right to protect ourselves, our families, and our property. And so I say, remember to control your guns. Protect yourself and your family. It's your duty. It's not somebody else's job. It is your duty to protect yourself and your family and your property. That's what the Bible shows us. Now let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we approach that time of Christ's return in these what are called the last days, we ask, Father God, that You would guide us not to be lovers of our own selves, not to be covetous or boasters, not to be proud or blasphemers, not to be disobedient to You or our earthly parents in some cases, not to be unthankful, but to be thankful, not to be unholy, but to be holy, to have natural affection, to keep our word, to let our yes be yes and our no be no. Not be false accusers. Not to be without self-control. Not to be despisers of those that are good. Help us, Father, to be lovers of You, our Creator, more than lovers of pleasures. Your Word shows us very clearly that it's okay to enjoy the things that You give us in this life. Help us to do that, Father. But help us to do it in a manner which glorifies You. God, we know You've given us the right to protect ourselves and keep our families safe. Help us to do exactly that. Lord, I pray this all in Christ's name. Amen. Now, if you will, open your hymnals to number 151. Y'all are going to learn this song, if you haven't already, because we're going to sing it a few more times, I think. Jesus is coming again. Number 151. Marvelous message we bring, glorious carol we sing, wonderful word of the King, Jesus is coming again. Coming again, coming again. Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, and maybe soon. Coming again, coming again. Oh, what a wonderful day it will be. Jesus is coming again. Forest and flower exclaim, mountain and meadow the same, all earth and heaven proclaim, Jesus is coming again, coming again, coming again. Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, and maybe soon. Coming again. wonderful day it will be. Jesus is coming again. The song makes me want to sway. I just feel like swaying. It's like, it just has that kind of flow to it, you know? Standing before Him at last, trial and trouble all past, crowns at His feet we shall cast. Jesus is coming again. Coming again, coming again. Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, and maybe soon. Coming again, coming again. Oh, what a wonderful day it will be. Jesus is coming again. Amen. You may be seated.